Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. With the release of the movie Hacksaw Ridge, public attention concerning the religious rights of U.S. servicemen and women has reached an all-time high. Just how much freedom does a soldier, sailor, or airman have when it comes to following his or her conscience, especially in the heat of battle? And what is the response of the military when one in their ranks decides to go against the flow? Our guest today is uniquely qualified to answer those and other questions on this topic. Lieutenant Commander Robert Mills serves as a chaplain in the U.S. Navy and is currently stationed in the Northeast. Chaplain Mills, welcome to Life Quest Liberty.
Thanks, Charles. Good to be with you.
We need to keep in mind that Chaplain Mills' comments today, he's speaking for himself and not necessarily for the U.S. military. First, Chaplain Mills, the movie. Tell us about your experience when you first viewed Hacksaw Ridge.
Well, I went with a friend who is a Marine Corps major, and the two of us went together, oddly enough and appropriately enough, on Veterans Day, and we went to a matinee showing of Hacksaw Ridge. And throughout, we were kind of whispering back and forth at different times. And then at the end, we just sat in the darkened theater after the folks left, the other folks, and just had a good conversation about conscientious objection and about Desmond Doss and about the beliefs that he had for probably 30 minutes. It was very enlightening.
What did the Marine believe that you had to sort of adjust for him? Was there anything, any misconceptions about this whole thing?
Well, he knew that I was somewhat familiar with Desmond Doss, his life and his case, and by reading several books about Desmond Doss, and he was interested to get my input on whether Hollywood had it right, whether it was an accurate movie or not.
And was it right? Did they get it right? And was it accurate?
I think for the most part, yes. There were some details that were maybe over-dramatized and some things that were left out that really happened. But according to what I've read about Desmond Doss's life long before Hacksaw Ridge came out and then reread in the last few weeks and months, I think Mel Gibson and Hollywood got pretty close.
Very good. Now, Chaplain Mills, has anything changed since World War II when it comes to the tolerance and or acceptance of those with beliefs not always in sync with the military?
In general, no. However, some of the specific ways that we understand conscientious objectors and work with them in the military have changed. World War II, we had a draft. Mm-hmm. And so men in that day and even some women were basically compelled to go into the military. Today, it's an all-volunteer force, and we haven't had a draft since the early 1970s. Mm-hmm. So it's a slightly different vector that we're employing when we look at conscientious objection now, because everyone who is in the military now has volunteered to be there. Mm-hmm. But in general, the broad strokes are still applicable from the policies that were there in the 1940s during World War II.
Now, I have to ask this question because I know it's on the mind of a lot of young people today. Do recruiters tell the whole story? Or should they be considered the used car salesman of the military when someone shows up interested in a life of service for their country?
Our recruiters have an incredibly difficult job. They are competing with so many different avenues of entertainment and avocation and vocation for young people. They do occasionally oversell. Mm-hmm. They do occasionally exaggerate, some of them, not all of them. And probably the best advice I would have for a young person who is considering a military career is not only to talk with a recruiter, but I would encourage them to find a person who's been in the military for a long time, maybe a friend or some kind of a relative who may have served, and ask them the same kinds of questions just to get the point of view from somebody who's been there and done that, and who does not have a vested interest in getting them into the military.
Okay, very good advice. We're talking with Chaplain Robert Mills about the movie Hacksaw Ridge and about conscientious objectors. And Chaplain Mills, if I understand what you're saying, that if a person has fundamental beliefs that go against the military norm, they shouldn't join. That's fine. But let's say that someone's already in the military and they become like Desmond Doss. So they realize that they don't want to kill people. They don't want to do what the military is trained and so good at doing to enemies. What do they do at that point?
That's an excellent question, and fortunately we have a very comprehensive policy in place for folks who find themselves changing midstream. They may have joined a particular faith group, or it may just be born out of their own heart. Basically what we do is when we find out that they can no longer serve in the traditional sense with a weapon and so on, we put them through a series of interviews. We ask them questions to find out basically where the new ideas have come from and if those positions, those ideas are firm and fixed and sincere, deeply held. The chaplain is part of that process. The commanding officer is part of that process. And an investigating officer who will also ask questions about this person's belief. The chaplain will fill out a form basically that indicates whether he or she finds that that person's belief is firm, fixed, sincere, and deeply held, whether they're opposed to all war or whether they're just opposed to the particular war that we happen to be in right now. And there is a difference there.
Yes.
The policy states that the person needs to be an objector to all wars.
Okay. The military, of course, is aware of all of these religious beliefs, and that's why they have people like you, chaplains, who are serving all religious beliefs. Is a religious belief enough? In other words, if I say to you, Chaplain Mills or Commander, I cannot do this because my church says I can't do this, is that enough?
No, there has to be a personal belief here. There has to be a deeply held personal belief. Just because your church says no does not let you off the hook as far as conscientious objection is concerned. On the other hand, there are some churches, most of whose members do bear arms in the military. We occasionally find people from those churches who have a deeply held belief against bearing arms and taking life. And the military, I think, has been fairly wise in saying, you know, we're not going to apply a blanket policy. We're going to take these cases one by one with some basic guidelines written in policy, allow them to be adjudicated one at a time so that we're not doing violence to a person's personal convictions.
How do you, Chaplain Mills, you are a Christian and you serve all denominations. Some, like you say, are okay with bearing weapons. Some other religions, like the religion of Doss, which was the Seventh-day Adventist Church, say, you know, we aren't going to kill anybody. Is God selective? I mean, is God saying, okay, I'm going to forgive these people who are bearing arms over here, but I'm not going to forgive those people over here who are bearing arms because they know better? How do you bring those together? Because I'm sure this is something you have to deal with on a daily basis when you deal with so many different philosophies of religion.
We do have to deal with a lot of different understandings of the world and worldviews. And part of the training that we get as chaplains is to sort through those, at least somewhat, to find the kernel of deeply held belief in the heart of the person who's coming to talk with us. I can't second-guess God and say God has one set of standards for one group and another for another group. I don't believe that's my place. However, what I am asked to do is talk with people and evaluate how deeply held the belief is. There are some people who would hide behind conscientious objection just to skate, to get out of the tough duties that are there. And we need to prevent that. At the same time, we need to be able to support those who have a deeply held moral belief against war or against their personal participation in war. It's interesting, Desmond Doss did not want to be called a conscientious objector originally. He said, please call me a conscientious cooperator. He was able to have a deferment because he worked in the defense industry at a shipyard. But he said, no, I want to go in and serve, I just can't bear arms. So we need to find the kernel of truth, of deeply held moral belief in a person's life, and support that process.
What I hear you saying, Chaplain Mills, is that if two people are standing before you or before God, and one is carrying a gun and the other one is not carrying a gun, that does not determine God's love for that person or care for that person or his ability to save that person. Am I on the right track?
Absolutely, Charles. People have different beliefs. They have different understandings of the world. And two men can be standing together, as you said, one with a weapon in hand and ready to kill for his country, and one who says, no, I can't do that, but I will serve. Mm-hmm. And I believe God honors both. I believe God respects both. And I firmly believe that we as a nation have a moral responsibility to understand the wide range of personal belief and, whenever possible, support and defend that.
I like the word that you're using there, and I've heard it several times during this interview, and that is serve, service. You are telling us, you are telling the young people listening to this program that service is the end goal here. And some can serve with a gun, some can serve with a canteen, some can serve with a medical kit, but service is the bottom line. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what drove Desmond Doss. He wanted to help his fellow man, and he wanted to serve. The generation that I work with most, the millennial generation, they really have a strong desire to serve, to help, to make things better.
Well, that's very encouraging for those young people who are looking at military service. It sounds like to me that the military is open to that personal belief, but, and you give a little caveat here, but that has to be a belief that comes from your heart. How can you as a chaplain know the difference when someone stands before you and says, I don't want to carry a gun? How do you know that that is from the heart and that is from God?
It's not an easy question to answer because sometimes people lie, but what we try to do as chaplains is develop a relationship with the person, a relationship of trust, and remove some of the reasons that someone might lie and allow them to be authentic with us and invite them to be authentic with us. The service does recommend that if people have strongly held beliefs against war, that they not enter the military to begin with. This is an interesting dichotomy because Doss had those beliefs and he still entered the military. He did face some persecution and some issues getting to where he got, but I was very impressed that he overcame. He stood by his beliefs and served honorably and brought great credit to his country, his church, and his God.
Mm. Chaplain Mills, thank you so much for being with us today and giving us these are very encouraging words you've shared with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with my nephew, Chaplain Robert Mills, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651. Or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.